Welcome to the IHSAA Insider as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of girls basketball at the Indiana High School Athletic Association. My name is Jane Schott, Assistant Commissioner in charge of girls basketball. We are talking with players, coaches, and officials who have impacted the evolution of the game in our state. As we've always heard, in 49 other states, it's just basketball. But this is Indiana High School girls basketball. Sit back and enjoy reminiscing with the legends of Indiana. Today we are joined by a 2002 graduate of Wawasee High School who became our state's leading scorer after breaking Stephanie White's record. She had 3,085 points, which is incredible because that's like a 33-point per game average over the course of her long career. Since then, Jackie Young has broken that record in terrific company, which is fabulous. But we're joined by Shauna today from way out west, so we're really excited to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us. And let's go back to pre-Wawasee High School. Did you always want to be a basketball player, and did you know that was your path growing up?
Pre-Wawasee, yes. My dad was always a coach, and so that was something that we just kind of grew up doing. You know, I always say when I speak, there's three things to do in Indiana, and it's basketball, race car driving, and farming. And I chose basketball out of those, you know, fantastic options. And being as though my dad was a coach, I just kind of grew up in the gym, and that was my normal, you know. And I had an older brother, so I always played against him, and he beat up on me, and that was just kind of how it developed over time. But naturally, organically, it was always something I enjoyed. It was never something that, you know, like, my dad's making me go into the gym. But it was playing outside and basketball. That was really about it, you know?
That's kind of fun. What was it like being coached by your dad? I mean, he was there before and then after as well. So he's been a long time coach. Was that a good experience?
I loved it. I did. My dad and I have always had a very good relationship. And there was there was learning curves definitely along the way of trying to navigate through how your coach player versus father daughter, when to cut it off, when to be just father daughter, when to salvage a relationship between us and not overwhelm my mom when I came home. and she had very strict rules because she wanted to also be a part of our relationship. My poor mom, I felt bad for her. But I had a wonderful relationship with my dad. And so playing with him or playing for him as a coach, it was something that I loved it so much because I could trust him. I knew I could trust that he was going to be disciplined, that he was going to be, I kind of compare my dad as like Pat Summitt to like a 10th, you know, like he's that driven, he's that disciplinarian, that perfectionist, not to the extent of Pat, but I knew I could trust him in the fact that in my development as a player, but it wasn't a lot of time about me. Like I was used as the example to kick out of practice, to make it harder on, you know, it's pretty much every one story that's been in that role. And I knew I could trust him, and it wasn't just all patty cake. You know, he really wanted to instill those qualities, not only in me, but in my teammates, and make it a great experience for all of us.
That's awesome. Well, and you mentioned discipline. I think the other aspect of your game that I admire is your free throw shooting. 70 in a row at one point in your career. You shot over 90%, like 95% in a season, 93% for a career. That kind of discipline comes from a lot of shooting. You must have had a routine. And I remember you as that player, as this pure shooter who could just, you felt like it was, when I watched you shoot, they were never going to miss. What was it like getting to that point as a shooter?
Yeah, that's, I mean, hours and hours and hours. Yeah. You know, like when you know it was never given, and nothing was ever given, and it was always worked for. And I was always, you know, after being out and away and going through a lot of counseling, realizing, you know, the fuel that you use by what people say, you know, the things that you're told you can't do. The things that you told that you're not good enough to do, the things that you're told that you're supposed to let roll off your back, like water on the duck, you know, hypothetically, it was something that it fueled me to a point where, like literally every day I woke up and I thought, nobody's going to outwork me today. Yeah. And so that was at every single, before school, during school, with weightlifting classes, with PE, after school, with my own team, but then also with the boys. It's like I literally, and this is probably why my body broke down when I was about 26 to 28, you know, but it's
sure.
It's all I wanted to do. Like on game days, I was so focused, I wouldn't really talk to anybody during school. Like it was just this overkill of this drive. But in the same way, it also got me to places where I could experience, you know, and fulfill a dream of playing professionally. And that drive to not just get in the gym and work, but to make certain numbers of shots to.
Yeah.
So when it comes to practice, when it comes to game time, I was surprised if I missed. Like I knew I was going to miss. Like Steph Curry, you know, he shoots it, he walks away, and people are like, oh, how'd you know it was going in? Like you shoot so many millions of shots that you have bone spurs in your elbows and that you have locked up on your wrist, you know, that because of that repetition. Yeah. But it's just something that you do so frequently, so often that, you know, you have the confidence because you put in the work.
Yeah.
You know, when people don't have that confidence, there's a reason why you're not a good shooter. There's a reason why you're not good at something. There's no excuse or, you know, there's no excuse for not working hard. And hard work covers a multitude of sin, is what my dad always said.
And he was wise. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your WWC teams then. Were there any particular, you guys had a tough sectional. You did get out of your sectional. You won that. Were there any games that you particularly remember as one of your favorites or a really incredible game that, you know, your team won or getting through that tournament? We're about to start tournament here next week in Indiana. Yeah. So,
the first time we won sectional, I think, was very special because, yes, we did have Northwood. I remember very, very vividly Northwood had just won the state finals the year prior, and we had them in our sectional. And Warsaw was in there a couple of times, and they were, you know, they're always predominantly powerhouse, especially as, you know, a larger school, much larger school than us. And they're all right there. And so, getting out of sectional is almost like, if you can get out of sectional, you're going to go to state because it's, that's more difficult. So I think that the first sectional win that we did beat, and I was just a freshman. Mm-hmm. Was I a freshman or was I a sophomore? I was a sophomore. You're this young kid that doesn't know, you know, what's going on, and you don't really know the gravity of the situation, and you're up against a bunch of seniors who are very seasoned and they've been to the state and they've won it. And so, being able to kind of get over that hurdle, and now it's like, okay, so we're the ones to beat. So let's reestablish in this era who's going to be top dog and in a very difficult sectional, a very, very well coached area.
Yeah.
It was very memorable.
Yeah. That's for sure. There were some terrific teams, Northridge is in there, and you had some very good coaches all along the way. So
those were
lessons, and those were things that were helping you, because when you talk about the transition you made to go to Tennessee and taking your game, how successful it was offensively at the high school level, and then transitioning that to one of the best teams in the country. What was that like for you, and how was it playing for Pat Summitt? You mentioned
that was by far the hardest transition in my basketball career because, and everybody has that difficulty because you're this massive fish in a little pond, and you go to like you're a minnow in an ocean now. And the one thing that was, in fact, most difficult, and I say this a lot, is a story that when we go to Tennessee, Pat always had us take a personality profile test, and that was so that she was able to know how to best motivate you, get at you. Wow. She yelled at everybody, but it was more of like, in what way do I yell at you?
Selectively,
yeah. And so she pulled me aside and said, you know, this is going to either be the best 4 years of your career or the worst 4 years of your career, because I was the only one that she ever coached that had the exact same, like 100% the exact same personality profile as her. And so we're talking like very driven, very focused, very tunnel vision, but very alpha. And I had my own way of being alpha. And I was never going to be the alpha. Like, there's no matter how much I tried, this is her team. This is as it should have been. And so it was very much not just mentally and emotionally a humbling year. It was also just physically, like I was way too slow and I was way too far behind on a lot of the physical qualities and traits that needed to be at that next level. And so, but it was such a beautiful year because I realized how hard I needed to work and I had very specific things I needed to work at. And so I came home for a week and the rest of the time it was like, okay, I'm just here on campus and I'm going to work my tail off every single day with Pat as your tutelage. Like that's, you know, the best of the best. So that's what I did. And that's very, very difficult transition, but also I wouldn't have been able to go to the next level if I didn't have that, you know, that humbling year to help pave the way for what was next for me.
Yeah. And you were the one that did the work and you got to play with great players. You had terrific, you had a good career at Tennessee that then led you to the opportunity to play in the pros before you got hurt, you know, with the San Antonio Stars. And you also played with Tulsa Shock after you got hurt. But that must have been a really tough time. You're trying to make that WNBA career happen and then you tear your ACL.
Yeah, I mean, for anybody, you know that injuries are part of the game, but when it happens to you, it's very difficult. But for me, that was those injuries coincided with the deterioration of my own personal life and my marriage. Yeah. And so it had a lot of overlap that just really completely shattered my reality. And whether it's my identity as a basketball player, whether it was in my marriage, whether it was my career path, whether it was the money that's putting food on the table, like there's everything came crashing down in year four of my WNBA career. And it was just kind of like, oh my goodness, no, who am I really? What am I really? Who, if basketball is taken away, if my, you know, my marriage is completely falling apart, like what in the world? Yeah. So it wasn't just going through rehab, you know, like if I wish it would have been just going through rehab, I would have taken it a lot easier, but it sounded like it would have been a dream just to have to go through 9 months of rehab for ACL, but that was just like a, you know, a bit of it. So, but that's my story. And that's part of a huge transformation and the realization of who I am, in Christ. And that's really who I am 100% to a T at the core. And he helped me realize that, and I would never trade that for the world. And I also wouldn't have my two awesome kids if that never happened.
Yeah. Well, and now let's fast forward to where you are, because you are involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, if I'm not mistaken. Is that still what you're doing? What are you up to now?
Yeah. When I first moved out to Seattle, that was the job that I told my parents, you know, moving, being the black sheep of the family, moving way across country. I was a part of that for about 5-6 years and working with student athletes at the University of Washington, Seattle Pacific University, understanding what they're going through and a lot of the demands, the needs and the asks constantly from them. And just kind of being a sounding ear for them of literally just listening. It's really all you do. It's kind of, you're just a coach and you just listen. Yeah, that was for about 5 or 6 years. And then in that is where I met my husband. He was also part of FCA. It was in Hawaii. And so we did long distance, moved here. And that was 7 years ago.
Well, and the neat thing is that you still got to be involved with sports. And I assume you're still an avid basketball fan. Do you watch and you see are you still involved a little bit, at least watching from the WNBA with Seattle Storm or whatever it is out there and everything?
Do watch a little bit. I wouldn't say that I'm avid by any means. I've definitely it piqued my interest a little bit more this past year, obviously with a lot of the Caitlin Clark stuff. But I love it. Like I love like the attention that it's finally getting, you know, and as somebody that's been a part of when it wasn't getting that, you can either go down the route of jealous, which unfortunately you hear and you see a lot of, which is very, very unpleasant and disgusting to listen to and to watch.
Right. Like, agreed.
Come on.
Agreed.
Grow up. Or you can be thankful and appreciative for that. Now you set the stage, prolong the stage so that younger girls get to experience something that they deserve that you may not have gotten, but they deserve to. And that's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah. Agreed.
But so, yeah, I'm a little bit more, I've done a couple of chapels, I think, with the storm from year to year, but now I'm, you know, headstrong into martial arts with the boys. Like, I know nothing about
that's
it,
fun.
But I love it. Yeah. Whenever they decide to play something else, we'll do it. But it's whatever they want to do.
Being a mom of two, you may get the opportunity to get back into the gym if they choose basketball. Maybe you'll be able to coach them like your dad coached you.
Yeah, maybe. Don't bet on it, but maybe. Yeah.
That's fun. Well, let's I always ask one more question. Let me ask you one more thing. If you could go back and tell, let's just pick 15, 16-year-old Shauna Zolman anything before you were about to embark on the journey you've been on the last few years of your entire life, what would you tell that kid? What advice would you give her knowing what you know now?
To not be so serious.
Like
basketball is not your identity. That's something, you know, to be able to pursue and to love and to work as hard as you can at it. But there's so much more to life, and just relax.
Just chill. Well, I can appreciate that, but I will tell you the work that you put in and how you did your craft at that level turned people's heads. I mean, Rita Price was on our show, and she, when I asked for, you know, generational players in our state who really changed our game, she mentioned you because she was up in the northern part and she, you know, got to cover you, which is pretty cool because agreed. You know, that's something that hard work that you did paid off in a lot of ways. And you're right. We are standing on the shoulders of the giants who came before us, you know, in terms of girls basketball and women's basketball and all the attention and the due that they're getting. Probably you deserved it as well, but now it's really in a great place.
You gotta
just
be happy for them. Like, you really do. And I think, in addition, I think into your question of, yes, I appreciate you saying that. It's very kind of Rita to say, but the thing that, because you're going to have great players. It may be generational, but you're going to keep having great players. But the thing that's hopefully I stood out with, and one thing that I would continue to instill in Shauna as a 15-year-old, is the way that you make people feel, like the way that you act. Like, if you're just going to be this arrogant turd of a player, like, people are going to come watch you play, but you're also, they're going to leave with this taste in their mouth, like, oh, she's just another. But if you're humble in the way that you make people feel, the way that you live your life with integrity, the way that you come across in different ways, like, that's different. That's the way that there's going to be a difference in how you handle yourself. And that's what people remember. That's the difference of a player, of a person, that I would tell her, but then I would also tell my boys, you know, as they grow. So that's section B of the comment to answer your question.
That's great sage advice, and we really appreciate you taking the time to share your story and to share some of that advice with us today. And hopefully, I know it would be a hard ask to get you to come back for our 50th state finals, but in March 1st, it will be number 50 for us, so we will have a celebration. You were a Miss Basketball, so you're part of that celebration. And if nothing else, we will honor you as one of our 2002 Miss Basketball. Yay! That'll be a fun time for us.
Thank you. So. And it's pretty historic for sure. It's an exciting time. Not sure if I can make it back unless there's some sky miles that you guys want to donate our way. It's regardless, that's a huge honor, and it's an exciting time for sure. 50 years is that's tradition there. So that's awesome.
It is. It is. Indiana basketball, such tradition. Well, thanks again for joining us. And for everybody else, tune in next time where we get to talk to another legend of Indiana as we celebrate the 50th state finals. Thank you for joining us on the IHSAA Insider. Tune in next time for more conversations with the legends of Indiana high school girls basketball. And remember, this is your IHSAA.